Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back. We got plenty to talk about. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And the man of the hour is the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Ira Kaufman, sage, we are fired up to be here. Presented by Bill Curry Ford. Our great friends a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Memorial Day weekend is here, and what a great time to purchase a vehicle. As always, you get the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. Sean Sullivan's got $500 for you if you want to order a vehicle easily online with their concierge service. No deposit. Pick what you want. And, of course, the Ira Kaufman discount is always in play. Always in play, Ira. At Bill Curry Ford. The website is BillCurryFord.com. That is the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford. And Sean Sullivan is the man, the GM, and he wants to help you personally. It's a rare opportunity to get the insight and the assistance and the guidance of a fellow Bucks fan brother there to help you, whatever that may be. Sean Sullivan, you can find his email address at BillCurryFord.com. And thanks, Big Storm Beer. We'll talk more about them later. Ira and our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there. Learn what they will do for you when you have that ugly disaster in your home or your business. Flood, fire, mold, storm damage. Almost hurricane season, Ira, just hours away. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you call first when you have a disaster in your home. 24/7, they'll respond, give you that free assessment, free evaluation. And they're going to fight for you so you know that you are in good hands when you have this horrible situation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, how are you, man? You and Lee did a great job on the podcast with Surprise Me with Rock Riley. I opened up that thing. It's a threesome. I couldn't believe it. Put it all together nicely. I hope everybody enjoyed that out at Apple Podcasts, Podbean. I got one little bone to pick with you, Ira, from there. I was screaming at my radio, but how are you?
I'd be stunned if you didn't have a bone to pick with me over there, Stevie. But it was great to see the guys. You know, Rock Riley came in a couple of minutes late. You know, when he's not around, no matter where it is, I get a little nervous. And as we were leaving, to do the podcast, I said to Rock Riley, I said, you're not going to the Rays game tonight, right? He goes, of course I am. I said, you going home? No, I got to change the clothes in the car. Steve, this guy's everywhere. Rock Riley is hustling his ass off right now.
Well, Sage, speaking of hustling his ass off, I got to give you a thumbs up first. I'll give you a little love first on that podcast. You dropped a theory that you think the Buccaneers defense last year had too much pressure on it, that they caved under the pressure of a severely failing offense and, you know, obviously the major spotlight on top of that and everything that it was involved with having such high expectations. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Ira? Because that was a new one for me, and it made me think.
It goes back to something you said, Steve, about a month ago when you were doing your research, and you said, well, you know, the last 6 weeks, maybe including the playoff game, opponents were averaging, you know, I think you said 26 points, Steve. That's not very good. It just tells you how stout they were before that point. I think they broke down mentally, Steve, and I think a lot of it, to be honest, were the first halves, how horrible the first halves were offensively. This team couldn't score. Lee said to me the other day, how many times did the Bucs score a touchdown on their opening drive? I think I said two. I think Lee said the answer was three.
Yep.
Steve, week after week, you know, they go into the second half and, like, they're losing 10-0. Or they're losing 10-3. I mean, where are the points? Where are the points? And the defense is trying their butts off. The Bucs can't score in the red zone. The Bucs can't convert third downs. And every time you look, Lavonte David and company are trying to hold the fort. And eventually, it crumbled. And I think it was mental as much as physical. Now, look, there's no excuse for the Dallas game. None. Zero. But before that, too many games when this offense just let this team down. I think it got to Todd Bowles' unit, and I think they lost their mojo because of it.
Lost mojo. Lee, what do you think? Do you buy into Ira's theory?
Well, it sounds great, but the only pushback I would have is the majority of those players also won a Super Bowl. They had one of the best, you know, one of the best defensive games I've ever seen when they shut down Kansas City in the Super Bowl. So I can't buy it 100% only because those are the same guys who were mentally tough enough to win a Super Bowl and shut down Pat Mahomes, which no one's ever done in the playoffs like they did. It sounds good. I just don't know how accurate that is only because, you know, if this is a totally different defense, I'd buy that. But, you know, that's the same team that 2 years prior, you know, locked down the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl. And you could say the year before, they did a pretty good job shutting down the Rams in the second half when they, you know, screwed the pooch, so to speak, and gave the Rams that huge lead.
Lee, we got to remember, if you're going back the two previous years, that was a team that was averaging 30 points, not 18. And Steve, most importantly, to be fair, you look at the Buck defense, late 90s, Dilfer, Sean King, and you say, well, wait a minute. That defense didn't fold when the offense was struggling. Steve, let's be fair. The Buck defense, and this is not the 2002 Buck defense. I mean, it's not. It's a good defense. But that team had four Hall of Famers. When you got four Hall of Famers on one side of the ball, you know, you can deal with a little bit of mental pressure. Give us 17 points and we'll win the game. This is not that defense, Steve.
No, not yet. They certainly haven't proven that. But like Lee said, I mean, they have accomplished at the highest level. So it is a little bit strange on some ways, but I wanted to get a little more from the sage. He made us all think. So I appreciate that, Ira. I appreciate that. Today is Thursday as we record this, and it's day 3 of OTAs at $1. And it's also day 1 of buy one, get one free packaged beer to go at Big Storm Brewery locations. All of them, all their tap rooms and vodka sodas. So what a great time to try the different beers that you have yet to try from Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer, tap rooms in Odessa, off State Road 54, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, Ybor City, upstairs, Centro Ybor, great new location, Amway Center in Orlando, and Cape Coral. Get to BigStormBrewery.com, see all the beers, and head out there, load up. What a great time. Thank you, Big Storm, just in time for the holiday weekend. But it's another media lockout day, which is what Wednesday was. You know, this happens every year, and most teams do it this way. They're not required to let the media in to watch, but they want the media to write about what's going on, yet they only want to show them, you know, like a third of the movie, and which really kind of fascinates me. It's funny. It's like they want misinformation out there. They want people to say, this guy looks great, when you only get to see a third, basically, of what's going on. And so I got on the, I opened up my phone yesterday, Ira, and I said, you know what, the hell with it. I'm going to reach out to everybody I can reach that could possibly answer this question. And I basically wrote to whoever I was able to reach out to who actually would have seen practice and said, hey, you know, what can you give me? What can you tell me that I won't attribute to you, but that I can share? And I was surprised. I actually got a lot back. People, you know, it's May. People are in a good mood. There's just a lot of love from different people without them knowing the other one is being contacted for Kyle Trask, that he's taken a big leap from wherever he was last May. I don't know where that was, but wherever he was, apparently he's taken a big leap. I got people telling me, multiple people telling me Tristan Wirfs is already comfortable at left tackle and that they're seeing, when Wirfs showed up as a rookie, they saw this guy who was, wow, looked the part immediately and had the footwork and everything down and looked like an elite guy. And they just shut their mouths to see what would play out. And they're seeing the same thing now at left tackle. I'm hearing Servassier Dennis is like some sort of football savant. And they're just amazed at how smart this guy is and how he's picked everything up and multiple positions and things like that. Of course, hearing a lot of good things about the hopes on the offensive line. Sage, what do you make of those things?
Well, the first thing I make out of it is kudos to you, Isbitz. You know, you called in some chips. You got some sources. I never thought the cleaning person was going to call you back, but that's outstanding, Isbitz. Beautiful. The chef, you know, with $1 place, he called you back. That's another great source over there, Isbitz. Tremendous. The parking lot attendant, he might have called you. Steve, no, I'm just kidding. Steve, you know I don't have to tell you this. People you talk to, the bottom of their paycheck says Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Steve. So we have to understand that. And they're not going to tell you that, you know, Cody Mauch is struggling at left guard. You're not going to hear that. But I'm glad for any kind of information you're getting, especially about Kyle Trask, because Lee, let's be honest, they're not really starting from the same starting line. They're not. Mayfield has experience, and Trask doesn't. And for a guy who's coaching for his job, which Todd Bowles is, you're going to tend to lean on somebody with experience and has had a little bit of success in this league. So I think Trask has to outplay Mayfield, perhaps by a significant margin, you know, especially in training camp, to wrest that starting job away from Mayfield. But it's good that Trask, you know, is accepting the challenge. And he's not going into this thing saying, I got no shot. So I like that about Trask. He is a competitor, but I think he's got his work cut out now. Lee, that leads me into something I want to say about Mr. Mayfield. Lee, and I know you noticed this. You know, I did ask him a question about the low expectations for the 2023 Bucks, and lo and behold, Lee, within an hour or two, everybody is using the Mayfield quote. Everybody. So, you know, Lee, why do I have to set up everybody else's stories? Why do I do that? Why do I do that to Kemper? Am I getting paid extra for doing that? No.
Welcome to the 21st century and open access. That's number one. Number two, you could have written a story immediately about it, and then you get more credit.
Well, I leave that to you because you've written 9 stories in the last 14 hours, to Kemper. But I want to say something. This may prompt an immediate response. I'm starting to have a little confidence in this Mayfield guy. I am. And I've been looking at him, and I'm looking at his resume. Lee, in 2020, which is not ancient history, the Browns went 11-5. He played every game. They went into Pittsburgh in the playoffs. They scored 48 points, Lee. 48 points with Mayfield under center. Then they went to Arrowhead. Chiefs were big favorites. The Browns lost 22-17. Mayfield played well. Mahomes played a little better. It's Mahomes. Then things happen. Injuries, you know, he went to Carolina. They were awful. Well, on offense, he went to the Rams. I think the Rams, Lee, I think the Rams are going to regret not making a play to sign Mayfield. They don't know what's going on with Matt Stafford. What I'm saying is, 2 years ago, Mayfield was coming off a very successful playoff run. 2 road games. He played well in both games. He was healthy. I just think this guy's very motivated, Lee. I'm starting to think this guy's going to have a decent year. And a lot of people don't think that.
The Rams, from what I understand, the Rams wanted to keep him. But Mayfield wanted the chance to start. Bucks gave him that chance. And, you know, the Rams, they're in bed with Stafford. So unless Stafford retired, I don't think Mayfield's going to return to Los Angeles. Though the Rams, from what I understand, the Rams wanted him. And we do know, it's public knowledge, and Steve broke the story, and Baltimore writers confirmed it later, that the Ravens tried to sign him when it was up in the air about Lamar Jackson. My big takeaway to that is, did Sean McVay and John Harbaugh overnight become stupid? So he must have showed somebody something. You know, whoever the quarterback is, and yeah, I would lay money that it's Mayfield. I mean, we don't know. It's just, we've seen one full practice, and I can only go by that, and that's irresponsible to go by. But yeah, I'd put money at Mayfield. If they're healthy, I'd put money on Mayfield. I'm not saying Trask won't, but I'm putting money on Mayfield because, let's be honest, if the Bucks thought enough of Trask, they wouldn't have brought Mayfield in.
You know, Steve Canales has a track record. Look what he did with Geno Smith.
Hey, Sage. One of the big things, themes of these responses I got back was about Canales. A, how he's an amazing, amazing teacher. And B, multiple people told me it just feels like a completely different team with Canales there, not just because of the new offense and his energy, but just how he sort of rubbed off on the other coaches and Todd Bowles, sort of lightened up Bowles a little bit, made him maybe a little more energetic. It's early, but it seems like he's having a big influence. What that really looks like on the field, we have no idea, but that was other feedback.
No question about it. Huge opportunity for Canales, huge opportunity, obviously, for Mayfield. Lee, suppose the Bucks win the division again. you know, a third straight time. They make the playoffs again. The offense averages 24 points instead of 18. All of a sudden, Canales is a hot property. He's got a lot at stake here. And I don't think it would take much for maybe him to get some consideration for a head coaching job, depending on how the Bucs season goes. Lee, he's got a lot invested in this season.
Well, we do know that he's got a hell of a reputation with receivers. How much impact he had with Geno Smith, who knows? I mean, that's just a guess. We don't know. But if he resurrects Mayfield and the Bucs win the division, he's building himself a hell of a resume. And I think the more I read about this and the older I get, the more I believe it. Defensive coaches should not be head coaches.
They
don't know how to run an offense. And you win games by scoring. So we know how owners covet an offensive coach with a young quarterback. Yeah, Canales, if the Bucs win the division and Mayfield looks good, it would not shock me if Canales is gone after 1 year.
Steve, at that point, Bowles would do everything in his power to keep the guy. But, you know, if he gets a head coaching job, there's nothing you could do, Steve. They would lose him.
Correct. Sage, I've been doing some math. I read some original math. It's not fully original research because the Bucs dropped some percentages and some other things on one of their in-house shows. And then I got my calculator out and started doing some math. So I got a question for you and Lee that I think you might enjoy. And first, of course, there's a lot of math going on at two places, Big Storm Brewery, where everybody can figure out all the alcohol content of their favorite beers for this holiday weekend, bigstormbrewery.com. Big Storm is in the store, Florida's best craft beer. We love it. It's Ira Kaufman's official beer. And Bill Curry Ford, 0% financing, no payments for 90 days. I know you love those numbers, Ira. BillCurryFord.com. Guys, I did some math. And my question to you is, Ira, in the last 4 years, how many snaps has Chris Godwin lined up at outside receiver?
How the heck did you find that, Isbitz? How'd you find that?
The entire Bruce Arians regime, how many snaps outside receiver?
112.
Lee?
Oh, jeez. I mean, that's such a guess. How many years?
4 years, 2019.
I get this right, Isbitz. You owe me a new Ford.
Cherry red Ford Escape. 2023 this time, Ira.
I said 112, Lee.
75.
Well, this is exactly why I did this math for you guys, because this, and it's why I'm not concerned about Godwin. The total number is 976 snaps as an outside receiver. That's about 29% of his 3,325 total snaps. So it's just an important lesson there that this is not a guy who was playing slot full-time anywhere close, and he did have a lot of success outside. We just know him more in the slot with Arians. But what do you think of those numbers, Ira?
That's a strong point, Steve. Maybe most of those snaps came in Arians' first year, 2019, and maybe he shifted them. Then maybe. I don't have the breakdown year to year.
I got the breakdown, Ira.
go ahead. Let me hear it year to year.
290 outside in year one, 209 in year two, 241 in year three, 236 last year, and that was missing two games.
Wish you would ask me about the percentage, not the number. I was so freaking far off on trying to figure out how many snaps they had total.
Yeah, you know, over 4 years, it's a lot of snaps. It's a lot of snaps. No question about it. I'm not going to freak out if Canales wants to move Godwin around. I mean, you know, he's done a heck of a job in Seattle with his two guys. I mean, they're 1,000-yard receivers, so I'm not going to knock it. I just think it's hard to find a good slot receiver. It's hard. You know, Lee always says, don't mess with somebody that's doing something very well. That's the theory I'm using for Godwin. But let's just say I want his predominant snaps to be inside. Predominant.
You know, I'm still hung up about Wirfs. I still lose sleep at night, tossing in bed thinking about this. Now, I was listening to Mia Kimes' podcast. She insinuated this could be a gamble that blows the Bucs up. She goes, I don't understand. You're taking probably the best right tackle and moving him to the left side. And she goes, and then they're taking one of the league's worst left guards and moving him to the right tackle.
There's something to be said. I'll give you an example, Steve. The Chiefs, they signed the guy from Jacksonville, Taylor to a big, big contract. He played right tackle for the Jags. He's in his prime. They let Orlando Brown go, the left tackle. And the plan was initially that they're going to move Taylor to left tackle. And guess what happened, Steve? A month later, before the guy even has a chance to try to switch positions, they go sign Donovan Smith. And certainly Donovan Smith's not moving a right tackle. He's going to be the left tackle on the Chiefs. And Taylor's staying where he belongs. So, you know, maybe it was a case that they didn't think Smith would still be out there. Maybe they liked the contract they signed Smith for. But for whatever reason, Steve, the initial plan to move this guy from the Jags from right tackle to left tackle, that has been short-circuited immediately.
I'm not sure there's a huge net gain for the Bucs to move Wirfs to left tackle, other than speculation and the likelihood that if he works out, it's harder to find a good left tackle than a right tackle. But how that helps them on the field when you lose the game's best right tackle, I don't know. The Bucs, in their own weird way, admitted this because they sort of came out and said, well, our last resort is to put Wirfs at left tackle. So that sort of tells you all you need to know, that it's not necessarily a preferred move. I thought it was neat, Ira, that Donovan Smith had his news conference the other day, his first one with the Chiefs. He did a good job out there. It sort of came up that Chiefs O-line coach Andy Heck, who was a guy who started 10 years in left tackle for the NFL, Smith noted that, hey, it's really cool to have a guy who played in the league as your O-line coach. And, of course, Andy Reid's an offensive line guru, and they made that decision you're talking about, two guys who are, you know, obviously had extraordinary success.
You know, I'm rooting for Donovan Smith. I think most Buck fans are. You know, there are Smith bashers out there. He didn't have a very good season, really, in 2022. Nobody's making any excuses. He battled some injuries. He battled some personal issues, which he didn't, you know, get into in detail, and I don't blame him. But, Leah, I think Donovan Smith's got enough of a track record, number one, for durability, and number two, you know, for pretty good play in the years, the 2 years previous to last, that I think he's going to do a decent job. I don't think he's going to be a statue, a turnstile in front of Patrick Mahomes. I don't think the Chiefs are going to let that happen. I think he'll do a credible job. Can he get back to being a top seven left tackle, which I think he was? In the championship season and maybe 2021, maybe. Maybe not. He's not 36 years old. Lee, I think he's motivated. I think he'll do a nice job for Kansas City.
He might, but I think, Ira, you're coming from a reasonable angle. I don't think most Buck fans want him to succeed at all. I think they can't wait to dance on that poor guy's grave. I mean, they bitched about Donovan Smith. He was the root cause of every ill in society, from the freaking coronavirus to global warming to the debt crisis in Washington. I mean, they despise this guy. I'm trying to think of a player that was despised. I mean, despised. There's a guy that comments on our site all the time. I swear he'd punch Smith in the mouth if he ever saw him. I mean, probably not since Michael Clayton has there been a more hated player on the Bucs. So, no, I don't think most Bucs fans want him to succeed. They cannot stand him. They're triggered by him. Why? The only thing I can think of is those assholes at PFF came out, you know, their infinite wisdom. And I bet you half the guys that work for that outfit have never, ever spoken to an NFL coach in their lives. They came out and claimed the only way Donovan Smith is worthy of the NFL if he plays right tackle, which Donovan Smith told me to my face how ridiculous that is.
I'm not saying, Steve, I'm not saying he hasn't had his struggles during his Buck career, which began in 2015. But I got to give him credit, Steve, because 5 years into his playing career, he took a step up. I mean, not a lot of people do that. Championship season 2021, I think he was a top 10 tackle. I got to give him credit. And he took a step back last year, and so we'll see what happens this fall.
He said something I thought was very interesting. I suspected, although I don't know, but I suspected that all the snaps he's taken, you know, his durability, it caught up with him. And he sort of said, he's like, maybe I played through too many injuries. I'll say this about Donovan Smith. I mean, I got along with him. I thought he was like you, Ira. I thought he was an okay left tackle. But here's what I can say about him, to his credit. You know, when he was drafted, who knows what his name is? You don't know his name. You don't read the frauds at PFF. You don't know anything about him. And you tell an average fan, this guy is going to block for a 1,000-yard runner his rookie year, and he will also block for two separate quarterbacks who throw for 5,000 yards in a season, and he will also block for a Super Bowl winner. You'd take that guy in a heartbeat.
No question about it. I wish him luck. And Steve, in his absence and his departure, you got to think the Bucs don't feel they have an adequate replacement other than Tristan Wirfs. Steve, if they did, they wouldn't move Wirfs. They wouldn't even think about it.
And then that's sort of where we started. So you came full circle, Sage. Hey, Ira, two things about the division. First, Gerald McCoy is sort of doing a trial run with NFL Network. Watched a lot of his stuff. He did a pretty good job. A little long-winded, but I'll give him a strong grade. He did very well. But he predicts the Bucs will win the NFC South. He thinks Baker Mayfield, the key for Mayfield, is going to be leaning on Mike Evans, really leaning on Mike Evans and making him more of a focal point and just leaning on him in a variety of ways. McCoy says he's just historically been one of the most underrated players in the league, despite all the accolades. Want to get your thought on that. And the second part is interesting call by Ed McCaffrey, the guy who played for the Giants, won Super Bowls, and of course, he's Christian McCaffrey's dad. Now, he's on SiriusXM NFL radio regularly as a co-host, and the interesting thing about him is that he knows the Panthers inside and out because his son played there. And also, he lives in Denver and knows the Broncos inside and out because he's an alumni and has been part of certain game analyst stuff out there and knows the team extremely well. So, and they're in the AFC West. So you put these together, and McCaffrey was asked who he thinks the best quarterback is in the NFC South, and they had a discussion about it, and he said he just can't say it's Derek Carr. It's too unclear between him and Baker Mayfield. It's too close. Now, this is a guy who watched Mayfield in Carolina last year very closely and knew how dysfunctional the coaching staff was, and a guy who's seen Derek Carr every year in the AFC West and couldn't say that he was better. So where do you stand on all that stuff?
I would not be surprised one bit. You got the rookie, you know, in Charlotte. You know, you got Ritter in Atlanta. A lot to prove. And then you're looking at Carr. Well, Carr's number one thing is his durability, which is extraordinary for the position. I mean, the guy's never hurt. And that goes a long way when you're talking about the quarterback position. A long way. But he's not great. He's not elite. He's middle of the pack. And, you know, what the heck did he do with the Raiders? He you know, the Raiders didn't go anywhere with Derek Carr. Yeah, they're in a tough division. Yeah, they're looking up at the Chiefs. But the Raider offense, you know, I mean, he had Devontae Adams last year. He had the league's leading rusher last year. And what'd the Raiders do? They didn't do anything. I'm not shocked if Mayfield ends up being as good or better than Derek Carr this year. Steve, I want to say one thing about Mike Evans, and I can just hear people driving off the road. But, you know, you got to say what you got to say. I didn't like the season Mike Evans had last season. I didn't like it. He caught 77 balls. He missed two games, 1,124 yards. Lee, six touchdowns. It's not acceptable. That's the least for him since 2017, you know, when Winston was throwing the ball. The guy scored 27 touchdowns in the two previous seasons, and he scored six with Tom Brady. I thought he was disinterested at times last year, Lee. I didn't feel he was fully invested. Like, I remember Mike Evans. Yeah. He topped 1,000 yards. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He caught 60% of the balls thrown his way. That's not a great number. I expect more out of Mike Evans, and I think we're going to get more out of Mike Evans this fall.
Well, I was going to ask you, surely you're not suggesting he be cut. I mean,
No, of course not.
When I hear the word unacceptable, that means the guy ought to be thrown out of the building.
I don't know if I'm blaming him or I'm blaming the Buck offense. You know, the ball got out in 1.5 seconds, and it was a 6-yard pass. That was the Buck offense last year. That's unacceptable. Play to your strengths. Your strengths are Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, period. Those are your strengths, Lee.
Isbeth, make sure you flag what he just said next time he talks about running the ball. Flag that. we're going to learn a hell of a lot about Byron Leftwich this fall. Hell of a lot. Yay or nay?
Steve, I'm not defending Leftwich. He was unimaginative. The defense knew exactly what to expect. He didn't change things up, which I think Canales will be a lot more flexible. He's going to move his quarterback around a little bit. Maybe you'd say, well, you can't do that with Brady. Maybe. But it was unimaginative. But Steve, at the same time, he doesn't get 100% of the blame. Not 100%. Brady was okay last year. Steve, you got a column coming up later this week of mine. And the Brady lovers aren't going to like it. He wasn't bad. But he wasn't Brady last year. He just wasn't.
Hey, Ira, before we head out, one comment and then I'll ask you a quick question. I can't let it go. Because I know a lot of Bucs fans about 2 minutes ago just froze in their tracks. You actually said you thought Mike Evans was a little disinterested at times last season. That is a damning thing to say, especially about a Buccaneers legend, Ira. I don't know. I don't know how to digest that. If you want to say more about that, you can. Otherwise, it stands on its own.
I think I'm looking at the body language that I looked at week after week as the season went on. A lousy offense, a plodding offense. He's not reaching the end zone. Frustration for Mike Evans. He's too much of a pro to go into the tank. He didn't. I think he's going to put up much better numbers this season.
All right, Sage. He did have 1,124 yards in 15 games, 77 catches. I'll take that as disinterested, but I know what you're saying, Ira, and the Sage has spoken his wisdom. Your food, any barbecue things going on this weekend that we need to know that you'll be consuming?
Well, I have been barbecuing. And by the way, I had a little air conditioning problem earlier in the week. You know, that pipe was clogged, that PVC pipe, and a guy came in. But for a couple of days until I could get somebody out there, I had to disconnect the pipe because I don't know how to flush that thing. Some kid 8 years old knows how to do it, and I don't know how to do it, Lee. And it's a very common problem with air conditioners in the summer, and the AC shuts off, you know, if the water's got nowhere to go. And so I disconnected, and the water was dripping down for a couple of days. The AC was working. It's the only way I could get it to work. And as a result, Steve, I possibly could have a mold problem in the garage. I think I'm going to call Josh from Florida's Elite Restoration, get his people out. You said they got infrared stuff. They can look through the wall. What is this guy, Superman over there, Lee? I think I might call Florida's Elite Restoration for a little look-see.
Lee, I ask Ira what he's going to eat, and he starts telling me about his leaky air conditioner.
You talk about food, I think about mold right away, Lee. You know,
Ira, I don't know what you're going to tell your insurance company. Hey, I disconnected the pipe and the water started flowing. I don't know. All right, I don't know what to do with you, Ira. Good luck with everything, and I hope there's a good hot dog with some sauerkraut out there for you.